You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Woo! Woo.
Glory!
Glory!
Woo! God's good. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles, if you would. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I know I've ministered on this before. My goodness, you know, you could easily come up many times and say, well, you know, I heard you preach that. Well, I've been here 25 years. I guess I have preached some of it over again. But, you know, we get in new stuff, and then we get new revelation on things we've ministered. Not too long ago, I ministered along these lines in the men's breakfast on Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20th chapter. Well, Wednesday night, we taught on David and Goliath. I love teaching on David and Goliath. It's just so rich. There's so many good things in it. This is a great chapter, 2 Chronicles 20, about Jehoshaphat. Great jumping Jehoshaphat. Well, you've heard that term. Well, here's where it comes from. I don't know where the jumping came from, but anyway. Jehoshaphat was surrounded by an insurmountable mountain, as it were. He had a crisis that came that was more than he could handle. You might say he was over his head. A lot of times we get in situations where we're just way over our head. Well, that's fine. That's okay. It's never over God's head. Are you with me? A lot of times we're in a situation, it's just more than we can handle by ourselves, in and of ourselves. But you know what? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? And we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And we always have the victory through Christ Jesus. And He always calls us to triumph in Christ. And greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. In other words, you can't lose with the stuff we use. Amen? But you have to tap into that. I mean, you have to make a shift, as it were. You have to get your eyes off yourself and on Him. And off the problem and on the promise. On the promise of God's Word. On what He said He would do. And on His ability to bring it to pass. Our part's to trust. Our part is to believe. Our part is to say what He says. And pray what He says to pray. Do we hurt? Sure we hurt. You know, I believe Shakespeare says, when you cut us, don't we bleed? You know, of course, we bleed, you cut us. We hurt like anyone else does. But see, there is a difference with us. We are Christians. We are believers. We can heal up. The difference between us and the world is almost the difference between a live body and a dead body. You can do surgery on a dead body. You can give medicine to a dead body. It won't respond. Hello? But a live body will respond to medication, respond to surgery. So we all get hurt. We all get hit. But see, we can heal up. We're Christians.
Yeah.
We're believers.
Hallelujah.
Life is full of rough edges and tough edges. Life's tough. I mean, come on, we're in a fallen world. This is not heaven. But, you know, we've got the victory. Praise God, we've got promises to stand on. We can avoid many tragedies, and we can tip the scales in our favor. You can't eliminate everything. You live in a broken, fallen world. There are things that just happen.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Sure.
But we as Christians, as believers, know God's good, the devil's bad. We know there's an answer in God's Word. We can heal up. We may get knocked down, but we can get back up. Righteous man falls seven times, but he rises again.
Oh, yeah.
I love that one.
Amen.
We can rise again.
Amen.
We can stand back up.
Amen.
You know, and in life, you know, let's just face it. If Jesus tarries and you know, the rapture doesn't happen the next day or two, you know, if we live a little longer, people are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, loved ones that pass on, going to be with the Lord. You're going to get old and pass on to be with the Lord. You know, if the rapture doesn't come before I'm 120, I'm going to die. Hello. But, I mean, we all pass on. That's part of life. We have to deal with that. There are no funerals in heaven. There are no hospitals in heaven. There's no sickness, disease up there. There's no hospital for you to visit, no funeral home for you to go to. No one ever dies in heaven. No one ever gets sick there. But there's something wrong with this world we live in. And so that's why we have these wonderful promises to stand on. That's why we have the promise of peace in the time of trials and tragedy, and the promise of healing in sickness and disease and victory in battles and so on and so forth. Jehoshaphat was up against the wall, we might say. He was limited in what he could do, naturally speaking. The numbers weren't on his side. His enemy was too strong for him. Hello. It says here, Jehoshaphat, who was a king of Israel, or king of Judah, actually, during the days of the divided kingdom. After Solomon, he was the last united king in the United Kingdom of Israel. Then it was split between Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And Jeroboam took over the tribes of the north, the 10 tribes of the north. They often referred to as Israel. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, took over the tribes of the south, often referred to as Judah. And so there was Rehoboam, and there was Abijah, and there was Asa, and there was Jehoshaphat. Got it? Okay. So I know you're looking for names for your children, so here's some good. Anyway, it says here in the 20th chapter, first verse, it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them, actually the children of Mount Seir were the others, it tells you that later, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Second verse, then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now, that's what happens when fear comes. Kind of like when Bob walked in that penitentiary. That's when you set yourself to seek the Lord. Amen. I mean, fear comes on us, but we just don't act on it. Amen. And we don't receive it. We don't take it. Be not afraid of sudden fear, the Bible says, when it comes. So fear is not the, you know, courage, let's put it this way. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the conquest of fear. When we're bold in a situation, we have decided to go against the fear. It's not that we didn't feel it. Of course we felt it. We decided to conquer it and go on. And so Jehoshaphat felt the fear and knew it was wrong. I like that. That ought to be an indicator. That ought to be a flag for you and for me. When fear hits, you ought to know something's wrong. You know what you need to do? You need to seek the Lord. You need to get on your knees. You need to believe God, because you're fixing to get in. You're fixing to get in doubt and unbelief. You are fixing to mess up. You're fixing to, in other words, the devil is getting ready to do something, and you're leaving that door wide open. When you feel that fear, you ought to hit your knees and pray. When your knees knock, kneel on them.
Amen.
Hello. Let's stop this thing. That's a red flag. That's an indicator. That's like an evil alarm. That's like a devil detector.
Amen.
Fear. Whoa, there's something going. Devil's trying to do something here. Wait a minute. I'm going to have to pray. See, God has not given us a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. And so when that comes, recognize that as such. It's not God. Everything that happens in life is not God. That is a misunderstanding, many times taught, even from pulpits sometimes, that God is behind every event. He is not behind every event. There's God. Here's some players in the field. You want to know the players? God, devil, you. Sometimes it's God, sometimes it's devil, sometimes it's you.
Yeah.
And the Bible defines for us what God does. It even tells us what the devil does and tells us what you do.
Yeah.
Hello. Now, we're not all equal. I'm not saying that when I say three players in the show here. We're not all equal. Obviously not. There is just one God. And the devil's not a fallen God. He's a fallen angel. So he's not even the opposite of God. He's not even the class of God. He'd be an opposite of, say, Michael the archangel. Michael the archangel is a good angel. The devil is a bad angel. The devil's not opposite of God. He'd be opposite of, say, Michael the archangel. God has no opposite. But having said that, God still gives us all free will. We all have choices to make in life. And we can make the right one or we can make the wrong one. If we make the wrong one, that's not God. God did not do that. Hello? So when something bad happens, it's not God. God's not teaching us or trying to work something in us or trying to make us better people. It was just a bad thing. It's from sin or from the devil or from you or for something added did some 6,000 years ago. Are you with me? God's not bad. He's good. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly, is what Jesus said in John 10:10. That's why we see disease and destruction and death in this world we live in. You don't have those things in heaven. Those things go on down here because this world's messed up. This world is fallen. It's going to have to be redeemed. One day it will be redeemed. One day it will be changed. But until then, we're here, and we have to deal with the mess. Sometimes we are the mess. Not all the time. Every bad thing that happens to you is not your fault. Sometimes it's just the world we live in. Okay. That help anybody? Because I want to help you. I don't want you to get confused about it. Because a lot of people think that when something happens bad, that God's behind it and He's doing something. And it makes it real hard to believe. I mean, how can you believe for help when God's your problem?
That's right.
I mean, God's not fighting you and helping you all in the same breath. He doesn't do that. Kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, is what Jesus said. In fact, the Bible says about Jesus, this is all free. I feel like Bob giving a quick testimony here. The Bible says, Bob can't help it. Bob loves talk. I do too. The Bible says about Jesus.
Amen.
Well, come on. I mean, that's not criticism. That's just the way it is. I was riding around with Dyed Manny one time. You know Dyed, younger, junior? And we went off somewhere and came back. He was showing me a building because we were looking at buildings. And he was just yakking all the way over, all the way back and pulling the driveway. And he just still, he's rolling. He says, well, you know, Mike, I like to talk. I'm like you. I like to talk.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, you do, Dad. You know, we just. Anyway, the Bible says about Jesus.
Yeah.
Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the
devil.
Who did Jesus heal? Those that were oppressed of the
devil.
So who was the oppressor?
The devil.
Who was the do-gooder?
Jesus.
Dudley Do-Right. I'll save you, sweet nail. Anyway, Jesus did good. He had God on him, so he did good. So the bad he recognized as such, and he recognized as being from the devil. Hello. So if bad's the devil. God's good, devil bad, okay? That just good God, bad devil. So just keep that in mind when things are happening. Sometimes it's your fault. Sometimes it's my fault. Not every time, not all the time. Don't go blaming people for problems in their life. Sometimes they didn't have anything to do with it. Sometimes nobody sinned. But we do live in a fallen world, and there is a devil. But the thing you need to realize is that if something bad's happening, it's not God.
That's
a sign you need to pray. That's why we pray. That's why we believe. That's why we pray. Our prayer requests never come in like this. So-and-so's doing real good. We need to pray if they'll have a wreck or an accident. We never have a prayer request like that. Nobody ever turns a blue card in saying, so-and-so is having a great day, a wonderful marriage. We would just like to believe that God would ruin their marriage and take their health away and that they'd lose their job. You know, you never pray. Why don't we pray that way? Because God doesn't do those things. We always pray when someone has a bad marriage or has a wreck or loses their job, that they get a job, that their marriage get better, that they get healed.
Yeah.
Ah, we know more than we think we do. See? We're smarter than we think we are. We actually know that better than we think we know it.
Yeah.
We'll turn right around and say God did something bad, but then we'll turn right around and pray that God will fix it. Okay. So here's old Jehoshaphat. I'll relate it somehow. Fear came in. And see, he knew what to do. He prayed.
Yeah.
He saw failure and defeat and opposition, death and destruction come in, and he knew what to do. He prayed. Oh, he felt the fear. He was human, just like the rest of us. We all feel it.
Yeah.
But it says he feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. Everybody say help.
Help.
That's why we go to God, to get some help. You know, because He is our help. He is our answer. He is our comfort. He is our strength. He's the one that's going to get us out of this mess. He's not the one to put us in the mess. He's the one that's going to take us out of the mess. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's not our enemy. He's our ally. He's our father. He's our friend. Hallelujah. He's the lover of our soul.
Mm.
So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Isn't that awesome that that many people got together? You get that many people together seeking God, something's going to happen. You get that kind of unity, that's where God shows up. Psalms 133 says that how beautiful, pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the dew of Hebron on the earth. It's like the oil that comes down on Aaron's beard from his head down to his toe. There God commanded the blessing. There where there's unity, the blessing comes down. Amen? And unity in faith, unity in seeking God, unity in believing and trusting the Lord. That's what he's talking about. And it says here, they came to seek the Lord. Fifth verse, then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. I love that. He went to the house of God. There the presence of God was. There the power of God was. And he went into the house of God. And it says, he said this, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You know what you need to remind yourself of in the midst of a trial? The greatness of God.
Amen.
The goodness of God. The power of God. You may have a power you're facing here you can't handle. But I'll tell you what, God can handle it. the power of God can handle the situation. The greatness of God can overwhelm that tragedy and overwhelm that situation. You may feel like a shell of a man or a woman, but God can fill the void. He can. He can come on the scene. He can bring comfort. He can wrap His arms around you. He can get you back on your feet. Hallelujah. He can put hope back in you. Amen? Amen. It says, "O Lord," He said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are You not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? In Your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand You?" Isn't that the case, God? Aren't You greater than everything I could ever face or any trial ever come my way? Aren't You God? Hallelujah. He is. And you know the answer to it. It's a rhetorical question. I mean, Jehoshaphat knew the answer to it also. Jehoshaphat was stirring himself up. And that's what we need to do. We need to stir ourselves up. We need to have a little, you know, pep rally. Just you and the Lord. And get excited. Stir yourself up. Stir yourself up. You know, one place it says of David that he encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself. You can't always get everyone to encourage you. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. But I tell you, you can always encourage yourself in the Lord. Always.
Amen.
Amen. So he did just that, Jehoshaphat, the ruler of the king. And he began to talk about God and His goodness and His greatness. When you pray, you ought to talk that way too. You ought to brag on God. You ought to talk about His goodness and His greatness. I'll tell you what, it'll charge your faith. It'll stir you. It'll build your confidence. Seventh verse, "Are you not our God?" I love that because He's not just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not just the God of Jesus Christ or the God of Paul, Peter, Mary. I love that. Peter, Mary, and Paul. Love them all. But He's not just their God. He's not just the God of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's not just the God of the New Testament, the God of the Old Testament. He's not the God of Bible days, as we called Him back then. He is my God. This God's my God. That's what Jehoshaphat was saying. He said, "Are you not the God that did this, that? And then He says, "Are you not our God?" This is not just the God of Billy Graham. Are you with me? God of, you know, Oral Roberts, the God of Kenneth Hagin, God. Go right on down the list. You know, you could just name people. Great men and women of God throughout church history. Great men and women of God of the Bible. This is our God.
Amen.
This is my daddy, my father, my God. Hallelujah. Woo! "Are you not our God?" Oh, man, I love that. "Who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying..." Now see, he was following Scripture because he was just obeying what God had said to do in the time of trouble. And he's recounting and rehearsing this before the Lord. Now this is a very, very good thing for you and I to get a hold of. You need to find out what God says for you to do in your situation and rehearse that before the Lord in prayer.
Yep.
"Father, didn't you say that if there was any sick among us, let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven." Didn't you say that, God? Isn't that in the Bible in James, the 5th chapter, the 14th, 15th verse? Didn't you say in the 16th verse, "Confess your faults one to another and pray ye one for another that you may be healed"? Didn't you, God, didn't you say, isn't that in there? Hello? See, you find instruction and you follow that instruction. You dig in there. You find out what God says. That's a good question. Do you know what God is saying about your situation? I dare say most of us probably don't, or many of us don't. We know maybe what the doctor said. Thank God for doctors. But many times that's not doesn't give us hope. Sometimes that's a negative report. And they're doing the best they can do, working within the realm of the natural, working within medicine and surgery and all that they know. Thank God for them. We're for doctors. We're for hospitals. But you know something? That's not the final word. God can do what they can't do. Hallelujah. But you've got to know what God says. You've got to dig in there. You've got to find out what God says. And then you have to return that or rehearse that back to God. Through prayer, through confession, through faith. And see, Jehoshaphat's not being negative here. He's not being sarcastic. He's just reminding God. Saying, "God, no, you said this, you said that, didn't you say this?" And he knew the answer to all the questions. In essence, he's saying, "God, you said this, and you said this, and you said this." Hello?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. So he's saying, Didn't you say this? Didn't you tell us? Ninth verse. If disaster comes upon us, and sword and judgment and pestilence and famine, that if we will stand before this temple in your presence, for your name is in this temple, Lord, and cry out to you in our affliction, you will hear and you will save. Didn't you say that, God? Isn't that in the Bible?
Yeah.
It is.
Amen.
It is in the Bible. So what you need to do is follow that.
Yeah.
Repeat that back to God. God already knows that. He doesn't need reminding. You just need to remind yourself of it. Amen? And rehearse it and say it. And he says, now look. 10th verse. Now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. He's telling God, here's the situation. And see, God knows the situation too, but he needs you to say it. How many times you see in the gospel where Jesus, someone would come to him and he'd say, what is it that you need me to do? Do you think Jesus, don't you think Jesus knew what they needed?
Sure.
But Jesus also is the one that said, ask and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open unto you.
Right.
Don't you think when you're raising your children and they're just beginning to talk and they're at the table and they want something that you know they know how to say, that when they go, and point, don't you know what they need? And yet you say, what do you want, honey? And they go, no, what do you want? You're wanting them to ask you, see? You know, but they need to ask you. Hello. So many times we go through life and we say, well, I don't ever ask God for anything. Well, I'm sorry, you're wrong. You need to repent. I mean, you can be that way. You can be a Christian and not ask God for anything after you're saved and live in total rebellion the rest of your life. That's fine. But it is God that told us to ask Him. It is God that told us to come to Him in the time of trial and trouble, temptation. That's all in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament too. It's Jesus that said, ask, you shall receive, seek, you shall find, knock, the door will be open unto you. So Jehoshaphat's recounting and rehearsing and telling God something. Of course he already knew, but still he needed to do that. Because that's part of the process. You come to God with your needs. You ask according to the promise.
Amen.
And you receive help and answers. So he says, and now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. And that's all in the Bible. When they came into the land of Canaan, they came out of the land of Egypt. The children of Ammon and Moab, they were the children of Lot, Lot's children. That accounts back in Genesis, I think Genesis, way back in Genesis, where Lot was, I think 19th chapter, was ran out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's an incestuous situation. His daughters actually got him drunk and had children. That's in the Bible that says that. I'm not, making stuff up here. But anyway, the Ammonites, Ammon was one of them, Ben-Ammi, and the other one was Moab. So the Moabites and Ammonites were related to Israel in the sense that they were Lot's children. So God told the children of Israel not to fight with them, and they didn't. And the children of Mount Seir were the descendants of Esau. By this time, Esau had moved down to Mount Seir and had taken over that part of the area, and his children, his descendants, ruled that. And so these were all related in one sense, and yet they still came against Israel. And Israel had done the right thing in obeying God and not fighting with them. Hello. So Jehoshaphat's going over all that. And he says, you would not let Israel invade them when they came out of the land of Egypt, and they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Oh, God, would you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. I love that. Isn't that good? I mean, how many times you're in a situation you don't know what to do? Well, you get your eyes on Jesus is what you need to do. You get your eyes on the Lord. I love also the fact, if you look at this and think about this, Jehoshaphat was recounting a wonderful promise that God made them, that if they would stand in that temple and pray in the time of trouble, that God would hear and he would save. And so Jehoshaphat's really recounting that. And he's making it real personal. He talked about them, God doing what he did for other people and their forefathers. And then he said, are you not our God? And God, did you not say if we'd come here and stand in this temple and pray in this time of trouble and tragedy and that you would hear and you would save. Now, Lord, they have come against us. Will you not judge them? We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. In other words, he's saying this. He says, God, you said that in the time of trouble, if we'd come and we'd stand and we'd pray, that you'd hear from heaven. And if we'd turn from our sins, and we have, we proclaim the fast here. We're all fasting and praying, seeking you, setting ourselves to seek you. You said it, that you would hear from heaven, you'd forgive our sin, and you would heal our land. He's quoting 2 Chronicles 7:14 is what he's quoting. And he's saying, basically, God, you said that. You know you said that. Here we are, God. Here we are. Doing what you said. Obeying your word. Now come on, God, show up. And show out. Amen. Amen. And do what you do. Because we don't know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. Man, that's good. That's faith. That is faith. Because he was saying, we're believing for you to do something. You know, this is where the battle is. See, the battle is a matter of faith. It's not a matter of the size of enemies or the size of the opposition or how bad cancer is or how bad this is or that is. No, no, no. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of believing God. Get it out of your realm and into His realm. Get it off your shoulders onto His shoulders. Cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. The fight we fight is a fight of faith. It's a matter of trust, a matter of believing what God says, standing on His word. God then takes that and He works with that and He makes it happen. We stand. In David's day, we just read that the other night and taught on that out of 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, when he stood before Goliath and he told Goliath, you know, that he was going to take his head from him and feed his carcass to the birds there. And then he also said, he got real cocky and he said he was going to kill all the Philistines and feed all of them the birds there. But he was a young guy. You have to give him that. But he said when it was all over, he said, all this assembly will know that the battle is the Lord's. I like that. All this assembly will know that there's a God in Israel, he said in one place. And then he goes on, he says, he doesn't say by seer, by shield, by sword, for the battle is the Lord's. Amen. See, you got to get that straight. It's not just you. It's you and Jesus. Amen. It's not just what you can do. It's what you can do through Christ who strengthens you. Hallelujah. You're not alone. You're never alone. You've never been alone since you got saved. You never had one moment of time by yourself since you got saved. Never. Because He's always been with you, never to leave you nor forsake you. Amen? So he called on God, and he says, our eyes are upon you. 13th verse. Now, all of Judah with their little ones and their wives and their children stood before the Lord. Man, can you imagine the unity here? I mean, they're all standing before God seeking His face. Would to God we'd do that in time of trouble. If we could just get our family to do that. Much less a nation. A whole nation did this. You better know something's going to happen. You get that many people together believing and trusting, looking to heaven. My goodness. Then the Spirit of the Lord came. Oh, aren't you glad when the Spirit of God comes? When? When they got to crying out to God. When they got in unity. You know what happens when you do that? The Spirit of the Lord comes. The Spirit of the Lord will always come. When you cry out in faith and you get in unity and you get of one mind. The Spirit of the Lord came upon, see, here's some more names now. Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattanah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. Man, you got all kinds of names here. You can name your kids. I mean, we've gone through several of them already. But it came upon the man of God. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. How about you? That excites me. I mean, the battle's not mine, it's God's. That takes all the pressure off me. I just need to pray and praise and worship and, you know, and just turn it over to God. That's what you need to do in the time of trouble. Maybe, you know, the Ammonites and the Moabites around your house. Maybe the children of Mount Seir have showed up. I don't know. I don't know what the situation may be. It may be physical, may be financial, may be marital. It could be anything. It, you know, but I know this, if it's beyond you, it's not beyond God.
That's right.
If it's impossible, well, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God.
Yeah.
And it's Jesus that said in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believeth.
Amen.
You say, this is just overwhelming. Boy, man, what a testimony you're going to have when this is over. Think of it that way. I mean, this is going to be huge. things are looking right for a miracle. Okay, y'all sound real excited. You know, the more you get into this, the quicker I'll let you out here today. The service is in your hands. So, yes, amen. Well, it's cheap, but I'll take it anyway. Yeah. Amen. So he said, don't be dismayed. And it's kind of like what Moses told the children of Israel when they backed up the Red Sea. Set yourself. Amen. Set yourself. Oh, hallelujah. He was telling them God would get them across there. And that's what David said. And this is what Jehoshaphat's saying. That's what God's telling us. Same thing, you know. You got to set yourself to believe God. You got to get in position to receive from the Lord. Amen. And they positioned themselves is what they did. Think about it. God was always in position. God's always on. But they were out of position. And when they begin to pray, they begin to believe, and they begin to fast, they put themselves in position for a miracle from God. And when you get right, everything else will fall in place.
Amen.
When you get in position, everything else will fall in place. All trouble comes. I know that. And we don't belittle the pain. We know that. We all go through pain. But when it comes, you get yourself in position.
That's right.
You seek God. Amen?
Amen.
And man, God will show up. Hallelujah. And He'll show out. You seek His face.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in a broken, fallen world. I understand that. We're not in heaven. Every day's not going to be Mr. Bluebird on your shoulder, zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay.
Yeah.
I understand that. And you need to understand that. I think you can tip it in your favor, the scales in your favor. I think you can have a better life and a joyful life. But there's always going to be some tragedy from time to time. You can't stop everything. Are you with me? There's too many people involved, and there's a fallen world involved, and we have loved ones that die, and that hurts. I understand that. But I tell you, we can stand up, and we can pray, and we know who to go to at times like that. And we can heal up, and we can get over it.
That's right.
And we can go on.
Amen.
And we have the hope. We have the hope of heaven. That's not a cop-out. We have the hope of heaven. Are you with me? I got hope down here, but I got the hope of heaven too. I do know as good as it is here, something better's coming. Something better's coming. Amen. But I'm not without help down here. I'm not without strength. I'm not without promises. I got some promises to stand on here. So he says this. He told them that the battle was the Lord's, not yours. 16th verse, tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you.
Woo-hoo.
The International Version says, take up your position. New American Standard says, station yourself. I love that. Get in position.
Yeah.
Get in. You say, where's God? He's had mood. He had mood. He's still where he always was. You get yourself in position.
Right.
For what? A miracle. What's my miracle waiting on? Generally, it's waiting on me to get in position.
Sure.
What's my deliverance waiting on? Most of the time, it's waiting on me to get in position. What is that position? Well, it's a position of faith. It's a position of trust, a position of call on God. Are you with me? And then God begins to take over at that point. But He can't take over something we hadn't given to Him. Right? Make sense? So anyway, He told me this, and I'm bringing this to close. Stay with me. I'm not going to keep you much longer. You want to hear the rest of the story, don't you? Come on. You want to hear? We don't want to leave Jehoshaphat in this mess. So it says here, 18 verse, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. My goodness, what power there is in worshiping God.
Yes.
Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high.
Yeah.
I tell you, when you get down, get up.
Amen.
I mean, when you're in the valley, sing loud. Sing high. Worship, praise God. Not for the problem, for the answer.
Amen.
It says, so they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe His prophets, and you shall prosper.
Amen.
If you believe this, you will be established. If you believe this, you will prosper. But you got to make a decision in the time of trouble. What are you going to believe? Are you going to believe God or not? If you believe God, you'll be established. If you believe His prophets, you'll prosper. Oh, hallelujah. And when they had consulted with the people, He appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of His holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever." I love that. And they sent them out front. Now, when they began to sing, the praisers went out in front. Praise and worship always precedes miracle signs and wonders, really, because that comes, that gets you into the presence of God. Amen. That is the highest kind of faith. If you really believe God, you're going to thank and worship and praise Him.
Right.
It's the consummation of your faith. So you say, "Well, I believe in God," but if you're not thanking and praising Him, then you haven't really reached faith yet. You're still working on it. If you really believe, you will thank Him and you will praise Him. If someone says they will do something for you and you believe them, you will say, "Thank you."
That's right.
Before they ever do anything.
That's right.
Because you believe them.
Amen.
You won't say, "Well, I wish I could believe that. I'd like to come over and mow your yard." "Well, I appreciate you wanting to mow my yard, and I really do wish I could believe it. And I tell you, I will when I see it, but I don't know right now. I just don't know. My yard's so got so much grass in it. I just don't know. It looks bad. And yeah, but I'm going to come mow it tomorrow." "Well, I know what you're saying, and I do appreciate the fact that you're saying that, but I just don't know. I just look at my yard. I mean, just goodness gracious, it's a..." Hello? They're standing right there looking at you. "I'm going to come mow your yard tomorrow. I will take care of it tomorrow. I want you to know I'm going to come mow your yard." And you're going, "Well, I sure wish I could believe that." Or, let's go a little step further. "I sure hope so." "Well, I'm just a hoping that's going to happen." That's insulting. Are you with me? You know what you should do? You ought to say, "Thank you." If you believe me, you will say thank you. And go inside the house and do a little jig, because you don't have to mow your yard. Hallelujah. Somebody else going to mow. Amen. So it says they sent out the praisers, 22nd verse. "Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come out against Judah, and they were defeated." In other words, they actually began to defeat themselves because of the praise and the worship. God moved on the scene because He inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. And they had believed God and trusted God. And of course, the story goes on, 23rd verse. "The people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. They were confounded and confused and destroyed themselves. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies, precious jewelry which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days gathering the spoil because it was so much." And they called the place Barakah, or place of blessing. That's what they called it. Actually, what was a terrible looking situation, what looked like defeat and destruction, what looked like them losing everything they had, because they believed God, they not only survived that, but came out more prosperous from the spoil left over.
Amen.
So that's the way you ought to look at a situation when it comes and it looks devastating, it looks tragic, it looks like you're not going to make it. You ought to stand there, believe God, stand on the promise, instead of accepting the defeat, start believing for more than you had. "I'm going to take this and I'm going to believe God for more. You lying devil, you're trying to make me, destroy me, mess up my family. I'm going to have a stronger family. I'm going to have a better family. I'm going to believe God in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to come out with more stuff than I started with. I'm not just going to survive the onslaught. I'm going to come out better than I went in it." Hallelujah. Because of your faith, because of your trust. Amen. Not because of the problem, but because of your faith and because of your trust. Great. Jumping Jehoshaphat. You can be a Jehoshaphat. Amen.